Today is the fourth day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today around the global campfire as we gather and take the next step forward together. And our next step forward leads us back into the book of Judges. We are very near the end of the book of Judges. We will conclude the book tomorrow, but that's then, and this is now, and so we have another full step forward together in the book of Judges. And so let's dive in. We're reading from the English Standard Version this week. Judges, chapters 19 and 20. In those days, when there was no king in Israel, a certain Levite was sojourning in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, who took to himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. And his concubine was unfaithful to him, and she went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there some 4 months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back. He had with him his servant and a couple of donkeys, and she brought him into her father's house. And when the girl's father saw him, he came with joy to meet him. And his father-in-law, the girl's father, made him stay, and he remained with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and spent the night there. And on the fourth day they arose early in the morning, and he prepared to go. But the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Strengthen your heart with a morsel of bread, and after that you may go." So the two of them sat and ate and drank together. And the girl's father said to the man, "Be pleased to spend the night, and let your heart be merry." And when the man rose up to go, his father-in-law pressed him till he spent the night there again. And on the fifth day he arose early in the morning to depart, and the girl's father said, "Strengthen your heart and wait until the day declines." So they ate, both of them. And when the man and his concubine and his servant rose up to depart, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said to him, "Behold, now the day has waned toward evening. Please spend the night. Behold, the day draws to its close. Lodge here and let your heart be merry, and tomorrow you shall arise early in the morning for your journey and go home." But the man would not spend the night. He rose up and departed and arrived opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. He had with him a couple of saddled donkeys, and his concubine was with him. When they were near Jebus, the day was nearly over, and the servant said to his master, "Come now, let us turn aside to this city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it." And his master said to him, "We will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who do not belong to the people of Israel, but we will pass on to Gibeah." And he said to his young man, "Come and let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night at Gibeah or at Ramah." So they passed on and went their way. And the sun went down on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned aside there to go in and spend the night at Gibeah. And he went in and sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. And behold, an old man was coming from his work in the field at evening. The man was from the hill country of Ephraim, and he was sojourning in Gibeah. The men of the place were Benjaminites. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, "Where are you going, and where do you come from?" And he said to him, "We are passing from Bethlehem in Judah to the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim from which I come. I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and I am going to the house of the Lord, but no one has taken me into his house. We have straw and feed for our donkeys, with bread and wine for me and your female servant and the young man with your servants. There is no lack of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be to you. I will care for all your wants. Only do not spend the night in the square. So he brought him into his house and gave the donkeys feed, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. As they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, worthless fellows, surrounded the house, beating on the door. And they said to the old man, the master of the house, "Bring out the man who came into your house, that we may know him." And the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my brothers, do not act so wickedly, since this man has come into my house. Do not do this vile thing. Behold, here are my virgin daughters and his concubine. Let me bring them out now. Violate them and do with them what seems good to you, but against this man do not do this outrageous thing." But the men would not listen to him. So the man seized his concubine and made her go out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until the morning. And as the dawn began to break, they let her go. And as morning appeared, the woman came and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was until it was light. And her master rose up in the morning, and when he opened the doors of the house and went out to go on his way, behold, there was his concubine lying at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up, let us be going." But there was no answer. Then he put her on the donkey, and the man rose up and went away to his home. And when he entered his house, he took a knife, and taking hold of his concubine, he divided her, limb by limb, into 12 pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And all who saw it said, "Such a thing has never happened, or been seen from the day that the people of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it. Take counsel and speak." Then all the people of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gilead, and the congregation assembled as one man to the Lord at Mizpah. And the chiefs of all the people, of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 men on foot that drew the sword. Now the people of Benjamin heard that the people of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. And the people of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this evil happen?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "I came to Gibeah that belongs to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to spend the night. And the leaders of Gibeah rose against me and surrounded the house against me by night. They meant to kill me, and they violated my concubine, and she is dead. So I took hold of my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel. For they have committed abomination and outrage in Israel. Behold, you people of Israel, all of you, give your advice and counsel here." And all the people arose as one man, saying, "None of us will go to his tent, and none of us will return to his house. But now this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000, to bring provisions for the people, that when they come, they may repay Gibeah of Benjamin for all the outrage they have committed in Israel." So all the men of Israel gathered against the city, united as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, "What evil is this that has taken place among you? Now therefore give up the men, the worthless fellows in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and purge evil from Israel." But the Benjaminites would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the people of Israel. Then the people of Benjamin came together out of the cities to Gibeah to go out to battle against the people of Israel. And the people of Benjamin mustered out of their cities on that day 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who mustered 700 chosen men. Among all these were 700 chosen men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. And the men of Israel, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All these were men of war. The people of Israel arose and went up to Bethel and inquired of God, "Who shall go up first for us to fight against the people of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." Then the people of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to fight against Benjamin. And the men of Israel drew up the battle line against them at Gibeah. The people of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and destroyed on that day 22,000 men of the Israelites. But the people, the men of Israel, took courage and again formed the battle line in the same place where they had formed it on the first day. And the people of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until the evening. And they inquired of the Lord, "Shall we again draw near to fight against our brothers, the people of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Go up against them." So the people of Israel came near against the people of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed 18,000 men of the people of Israel. All these were men who drew the sword. Then all the people of Israel, the whole army, went up and came to Bethel and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the people of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before it in those days, saying, "Shall we go out once more to battle against our brothers, the people of Benjamin, or shall we cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand." So Israel set men in ambush around Gibeah. And the people of Israel went up against the people of Benjamin on the third day and set themselves in array against Gibeah, as at other times. And the people of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. And as at other times, they began to strike and kill some of the people in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah. And in the open country, about 30 men of Israel. And the people of Benjamin said, "They are routed before us, as at the first." But the people of Israel said, "Let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways." And all the men of Israel rose up out of their places and set themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the men of Israel who were in ambush rushed out of their place from Mehareh Geba. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel. And the battle was hard, but the Benjaminites did not know that disaster was close upon them. And the Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the people of Israel destroyed 25,100 men of Benjamin that day. All these were men who drew the sword. So the people of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. The men of Israel gave ground to Benjamin because they trusted the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. Then the men in ambush hurried and rushed against Gibeah. The men in ambush moved out and struck all the city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in the main ambush was that when they made a great cloud of smoke rise up out of the city, the men of Israel should turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 men of Israel. They said, "Surely they are defeated before us, as in the first battle." But when the signal began to rise out of the city in a column of smoke, the Benjaminites looked behind them, and behold, the whole of the city went up in smoke to heaven. Then the men of Israel turned And the men of Benjamin were dismayed, for they saw that disaster was close upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them, and those who came out of the cities were destroying them in their midst. Surrounding the Benjaminites, they pursued them and trod them down from Noah as far as opposite Gibeah on the east. 18,000 men of Benjamin fell, all of them men of valor. And they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon. 5,000 men of them were cut down in the highways, and they were pursued hard to Gidom, and 2,000 men of them were struck down. So all who fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men who drew the sword, all of them men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon and remained at the rock of Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned back against the people of Benjamin and struck them with the edge of the sword, the city, men and beasts, and all that they found. And all the towns that they found they set on fire. John 3:22-4:3. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification, and they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. Psalm 104:24-35. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14, 22 and 23. Do they not go astray who devise evil? Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Okay, so we are in the final story in the book of Judges. And it is a profoundly dark chapter in the lives of the children of Israel, when Israel had no king and everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, which is something that the book of Judges repeatedly tells us so that we don't forget what's going on here. And this story definitely is a dark one, the story of a man and his concubine, sort of like a common law wife. She was unfaithful to him. He lived in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim. She left and went back to Bethlehem. And then several months later, he went to speak kindly to her to see if the relationship could be restored and repaired. And that's when we meet her father, who wants the man to stay and stay and stay and stay. And so they all stay a lot longer than they were planning to stay, but eventually the guy's like not going to be convinced to stay another single day. And so they leave, and as the sun is going down and they need to find shelter, there are opportunities for them to find shelter, but the man makes the determination that they're not going to stay with anybody that's not from their homeland. They're not going to stay in a city that's not an Israeli city. And so they end up in the Israelite city in the tribe of Benjamin in the city of Gibeah. So they're waiting in the town square. They're waiting for hospitality. If there's no hospitality, they stay in the town square. But that seems to be a dangerous thing. And so when an older man comes in and says, where are you going and where have you come from? One of his words of counsel is, don't stay out here in the city square. Like, come into my house. Which is what happens. And then the house is surrounded. And all of a sudden, this story has a lot of resemblance to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Except for one very distinct thing. These were all Israelites. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were not. The people of Gibeah knew this story. And they surround the house and they want the man. And as it turns out, it's the man's concubine who gets pushed out the door. And there's like no way to sugarcoat what the story is. She is raped and abused to death, and she ends up on the doorstep with her hand touching the door, dead. Like, there's no way to make that nice. It's not supposed to be nice. The Bible isn't telling us this story so that we feel flowery and great about it. It's showing us where paths lead and how our choices matter. If we just begin at the beginning of the story, she was unfaithful. That's where the story starts. She was unfaithful. She goes back to Bethlehem. Her, her, her husband goes after her. They reconcile. Had they just gone according to plan and gone home, they would have gotten home. But the father-in-law is keeping pressing them to change their minds and stay longer and stay longer, and so they end up leaving in the late afternoon instead of in the morning. They could have stayed in Jerusalem. They wanted to stay among their fellow Israelites. So they go to Gibeah. And then all of this stuff is perpetrated. And it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And the story in the book of Judges is letting us know, yes, you're reading a horrible story here. The man takes the body of his concubine back to the hill country of Ephraim and does something pretty grisly. He divides her into 12 parts and sends her to all the different tribes of Israel. That sounds absolutely horrific, and it is, but it sounds that way as we contextualize it. This is the equivalent of a message going viral. There wasn't an internet. There wasn't even a car. There wasn't mass transportation. There wasn't mass communication. But this would indeed get the attention of the recipient if a body part shows up at the tribal headquarters. People are going to want to know what is going on here. And that did spread, as we would understand it today, virally, because 400,000 people gathered over this incident. So the Bible's not condoning this incident. What we're finding is that there is outrage over this, as there should be. So 400,000 people gather to hear the story of what happened. And when they are told what happened, their response is appropriate. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel before. Basically, how could something like this even happen here? What are we supposed to do? And what they decide to do is bring justice, which sets up a scenario for civil war. Because the Israelites approach the Benjaminites and say, look, here's what happened. Give over the perpetrators. They deserve punishment. Justice needs to be served. Only the Benjaminites won't. And so they gather all of their troops together to defend their tribesmen, even though their tribesmen had committed an atrocity so severe that everybody's talking about it. And that creates the scenario for a war, a civil war among the people of God in the book of Judges, where tens of thousands of people die. And as we left the story today, the tribe of Benjamin is all but completely annihilated. We will finish that story tomorrow as we finish the book of Judges, and then we will be moving into new territory in the Bible tomorrow. And this story is one of the darkest stories that we encounter in the Bible. And so, not to be a complete spoiler, but I just need to tell parts of the rest of the story, and then we'll read the parts of the rest of the story and then move into new territory tomorrow. What we have right now are about 600 people hiding at the Rock of Rimmon. That's all that is left of an entire tribe of Israel. The tribe is missing. Like, there really are, like, there's 11 tribes and 600 people in a tribe that has been destroyed because they stood up for injustice, and it caused catastrophe throughout Israel among all of the people. Many people died. And the children of Israel, the rest of the tribes, have already determined that they will not intermarry. Like, they're breaking connection with Benjamin. And so they make this promise, and then they realize that there's a tribe missing, and it's a sad scene. And they figure out how to replenish the tribe. But Benjamin will be the smallest tribe now, obviously. Very, very soon from now, we will begin starting to transition ourselves toward the children of Israel, especially after things like this happening, deciding that they want a king to unite the tribes, to be a monarch over them, to lead them into battle, to sort of be the figurehead to keep them solidified as one people. And we will meet that king. His name is Saul. And Saul has a ton of stuff to teach us. But as Saul relates to this story, what we are going to find as a redemptive thread after all of this mayhem that we're reading about today, time will pass. The tribe of Benjamin will begin to regrow, and God will choose a king to reign over Israel as Israel's first king, King Saul. Saul came from a hometown. The hometown of Saul was Gibeah, the same city where all of this went down. And Saul will say, yeah, but I'm from the smallest tribe, from the smallest family. Who am I? And so out of these ashes that we are reading about right now will come Israel's first king. And we will get to that soon enough. And Father, we invite your presence into this. It's really just to have lived that would have been really profoundly traumatic. To read of it is traumatic. To just be kind of turned inside out about the whole thing makes us feel very like this is a story that doesn't belong in the Bible. Probably because it is. Probably because it's a story that shouldn't have happened. And because it did, we now have it as a cautionary tale to remind us that our choices matter. And when we determine that we are going to stand up for injustice and evil, mayhem and destruction are very, very near us. And yet, as the decades would go by and as things would continue forward, you chose Israel's first king from the very spot of these ashes and this destruction. You continue to put things back together that are broken. And most of the things are broken because we have broken them. And we all make mistakes and we all make choices that are wrong, but we're not paying attention, and we compound one wrong with another wrong with another wrong with another wrong. Where will the path lead but complete catastrophe? And so we come to you, Holy Spirit, realizing that although the story that we're reading is an extraordinarily graphic and dark one, and our stories don't reach this level of mayhem, we still know what it looks like to make wrong choices and then chase them with others that lead us down a path that is only going to end poorly. And so we come to you with open hands and open hearts and say, Holy Spirit, show us the path that we are on. And show us the path that we are supposed to be on. And show us the route to get there and off any wrong path that we are walking willingly, knowing full well that no matter the ashes of our lives, redemption can come forth because you put back together what is broken. You are a redeemer. You are the redeemer of our souls, and we give ourselves to you, believing fully that you will lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. And that's where you can find out what's going on around here. And alternatively, the Daily Audio Bible app is available free from the App Store that works with your phone or tablet. Just search for Daily Audio Bible, and you can have that right on your device. Check out the community section. This is a place to find the different links to social media channels that we participate in. It is also the place that the prayer wall lives. This is where you find the prayer wall. It's in the community section. And I talk often about it, and I will talk often about it. This is something that's here for us around the global campfire, and it's always on and never off. We can always go and ask for prayer. We can always share the story of what's happening in our lives. And we can also always go and pray for our brothers and sisters and encourage them. It's like this immediate thing that's always there for us. And so that's in the community section. But you can also check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop and all the different categories there of resources that are available. And so yeah, check it out and get connected in any way that you can. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you humbly. We are in this together, and that's why we are in this at all. And thank God that we are. So thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or there are a number of numbers that you can call depending on where you are in the world. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. In the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078 is the number. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Ule Buchwu calling from the UK. I have come to just give a little word of encouragement for anyone who is struggling, anyone who thinks that God is far away and is not listening. You know, it seems like life is just not happening the way it should. I had something happened yesterday evening. Today is the 25th, so it happened on Monday, 24th of April. We locked ourselves out, you know. There was a key at the back of the door, and my husband rushed out of the house on his way to work and forgot to take his key out. And I was on my way to work, and then he called and said, my key is at the door, which means when you come back, he will not be able to come in. And I thought, oh, well, as usual, I'll go to my neighbor's house. This is not the first time it's happening anyway. And I'll climb through their balcony and come in through my kitchen door. But then something happened in the evening when I was coming back with the children, and it was raining. And then I remembered, oh, I can't go in. And I thought, I said, Lord, I can't climb. It's raining. All I could see was myself falling off, you know, that from that height, trying to climb through. And I went, I can't climb. It's raining, you know. And then when I was approaching the door, with my boys were beside me, and I just kept saying, Lord, I can't climb. I need a miracle. I turned the key the first time, it didn't work. Turned it the second time, it didn't work. And I just kept saying, Lord, I need a miracle. Turned it again and the door opened. And I screamed. You know, my greatest joy when that happened was my boys were there. So for me, it was a way, I saw it as building the faith of my children. You know, because I always tell them, anything that you want, ask the Lord, He will do it. So for anyone who is struggling, ask the Lord.
This is the burning bush that will not be devoured for the glory of our God and King. This is my second time recording this. My phone just totally shut down halfway through my prayer, for Darlene, her granddaughter, Sophia, who's struggling with anorexia. So right now we pray in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you hold back the evil that's causing Sophia to not eat. I pray that in the name of Jesus, she will be healed. Father God, you understand what's going on in her mind. I pray that you heal her mind and her body in the name of Jesus. I pray for her spirit. I pray for a full deliverance in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray for a full restoration, that she will begin to walk in what you've called her to be, Father. Greatness, Father, we speak greatness over her right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you, God, that, Lord, that she will be healed, not only physically, but spiritually, Father. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that she will be freed. Holy Spirit, I pray that you send your angels to protect her right now in Jesus' name. Even in the hospital, I pray that you will help her to recover. I pray for a speedy recovery, Father God, in the name of Jesus, complete. I pray for divine healing over her. And I pray for her family. I pray for Darlene. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, that you will give them comfort as they go through this. I pray for wisdom for her parents in the name of Jesus. And whatever it is, whether be it emotional, mental, or even physical that she's struggling with, Father God, you know, I just pray for healing. You touch her in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I love you guys. Talk to you later.
Hi, this is Amy in Olympia, Washington. I've called in a few times before, but I think I'd like to start going by Running for Jesus. But anyway, today I'm calling in for my friend and asking for prayer on her behalf. Her name is Samantha, and she's in the hospital with COVID pneumonia, and she's fighting for her life, and she's only in her 30s, and she has a special needs daughter at home, and her husband is home with her daughter, and they're out of sick leave, and it's just this really discouraging and seemingly hopeless situation for their family. And it's not looking good for my friend. They tried to intubate her, and her lungs are so damaged that even that was too much. And so she's on a special machine that's taking the blood out and oxygenating it and putting it back into her body. And they're also talking about a possible lung transplant. So I'm just asking that that you as a community will pray with me and help me pray confidently that that God will heal her lungs. I know that He is a God of healing, but it's just really hard to not feel scared and discouraged for them. And it's just really discouraging for me. Like, I just keep asking, like, why? Like, how can a mom that's healthy and so young have this happen to her? Yes, if you could just pray for me that God will heal her lungs and that I'll be able to call back with good news.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. I have lifted countless prayers for this community. I'm a tired single mom, and I can't quote them all right now, but just trust and believe that I am daily tuned in and praying for the needs of so many people in this community. And I need the same in return, please, for my 20-year-old son who is in college, but he's not reaching his full potential because he is struggling with chemical dependency on marijuana, and it is interrupting his relationships, and he has other issues that are causing him to go into these psychosis type moods, and it is really, really not only separating him from the love of God, but also just interrupting his life in every way. And I cannot reach him, and I have tried everything to reach him, and I have prayed every prayer, and so has his grandmother. And I just need help lifting up my beautiful son to become what God really created him to be, and to pull him out of a life of darkness. He's overtaken with darkness, and he's often very depressed and almost hopeless. And this is the only thing in the world that matters to me right now, is the success and the life and the well-being of my only child. I just need these prayers. My heart is breaking, and I really need these prayers, and I appreciate this community so much.
This is Tilly from Florida calling on the 26th of April for the dude from Florida. Dude, I'm also from Florida. I'm on the East Coast by Melbourne, Florida, on a beach community. What you said bore witness to me in many ways, particularly when you mentioned how you wouldn't want to hang around your siblings other than that. You know, of my five siblings, one of them has already passed away. But fortunately, I still have my twin sister, and that's really the only person out of five that we're even communicating with. So I get it and won't go into it. It's generational. Father God, I lift up this gentleman to you. I feel his heart and probably could write his story for him. Dude, you're lifted up before the Lord by me, a person well acquainted with the things that you've gone through and go through every day. And I felt that in the spirit really strong. So Father God, as he goes on his trips and lives his life, I ask you to give him the grace and peace to forgive his family members and to walk in wholeness and beauty of your Holy Spirit, leading and guiding us.
Good morning. This is Dana from South Carolina. Today is April the 26th, and I was listening to people praying for Libby in Australia. So I went back and listened on the 19th to hear her request. Libby, I'm praying for you. I, too, as a child, had some things happen to me that didn't realize there was an option of speaking out, that I now know as an adult that has affected me in a way that that if I ask for help or that I feel like I'm weak, I always feel like that I have to always be in control of every situation. And I pray if that's the feeling that you're having, that there, if you feel weak or feel like you're not in control because you're asking for help, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just come in and remove that feeling of feeling that you're weak or shame or guilt. The Holy Spirit would remove that, and God would wrap his loving arms around you, and there would be such a peace and such a presence that you can cry out and speak out. And I pray that those things that have happened to you, that it would be a testimony to other people around you that would help them to grow and to speak out so they too can help another person. That feeling of being alone or being weak or it's just no longer there, and that you would be strengthened by that, and you can strengthen other people in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing this for her. Holy Spirit, rest on her today in Jesus' name. Amen.